You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me next Wednesday to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Today, if you're listening on the Locker Room app, thanks for joining us. Also, if you're listening on Locked On Twins after this is posted, thanks for listening. Twins big weekend series here with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Series will get going tonight. Andrew Heaney, left-hander against Lewis Thorpe. How are you feeling about Thorpe tonight, Matt?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking before just about Randy Dobnak's usage on the team and just that it's been, it's been a little weird. I think we all view him as a number four, number five starter with the team, and that's where we want him to be. And up to this point, he's been used, obviously, as a long reliever, used in mop-up type duty, which to me has been kind of odd. I think of him as a starter. I think that's where he's going to have most of his success. And as a result of being sort of that long reliever guy, Thorpe is the one who's getting the call tonight. So I think it'll be interesting. And Thorpe certainly made some strides in spring training. And if he can look good tonight, I think that'll be huge for this team. But it's just interesting that now with the way that Dobnak's usage was early, now he sort of got passed over for that first start opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, too. It's almost like he's locked into this bullpen role now. I thought he was going to start this game tonight, and then they announced that it's Thorpe. Byron Buxton been out with a tight hammy, waiting on lineups anxiously because I'm curious to see if he's going to be in there tonight. Rocco, you know, since he's come to Minnesota since 2019, has been very, very conservative about, you know, pulling guys, playing guys when they're a little tight. You know, we don't know the full details of that, but you know, what we've seen, Matt, and this is kind of a broader discussion of his philosophy in the last 2 years, what we've seen is that conservatism with injuries. And honestly, like the last 2 years, I think the goal is that you're as healthy as you can be into the postseason. But Matt, the last 2 years, like they aren't healthy come postseason time. They haven't been. It hasn't worked in the way that they think. You think it's more of a process thing, like it'll eventually balance itself out? Or do you think you know, all they're doing now is just kind of sacrificing wins here on the front end?
No, it's certainly an interesting philosophy, and it's something that fans have been questioning. They questioned a little bit last year, but it seems like even more so this year. I think it's interesting in the fact that now we're playing 162 games rather than 60. Mm-hmm. It's interesting just that now we're coming off of a short year where guys didn't necessarily get a full year's worth of work. So now coming into 2021, I think if Rocco was conservative even before in 2019, then certainly this year he's going to be more conservative. I think it's the right approach. I think just because, you know, you had a couple guys that were still maybe a little bit, injured coming into the postseason the last couple of years. I don't know that you can necessarily draw any conclusions from that. I think you just have to trust the process and trust the training staff and trust Rocco that, you know, they all know what they're doing. And I think it's fine for now. I think it'll get interesting if things stay tight throughout the season, just how that philosophy changes. I think Rocco's had a somewhat pretty steady path into the postseason each of the past two seasons. So if things do get a little bit hairy, just if he changes that or if he just keeps sticking with this philosophy, it'll be something to watch.
The philosophy and just Rocco's mantra in general, it goes over very well with the fan base when the team's winning, Matthew.
Right.
But when the team's losing, it starts to get pulled into question. Twins are only 6-7. I mean, the sky is certainly not falling, and it looked like the sky was falling for a certain twin, Miguel Sano, and you just had an interesting tweet. What was that tweet, Matt?
Yeah, so if we take out the opening series against Milwaukee, which wasn't necessarily a great start for the season, Sano went 2 for, I think, his first 15, something like that, with maybe one walk. If we take that out, so over the next 10, these past 10 games, Sano's on-base percentage is 342, which is above his career high on base percentage. So we're seeing Miguel Sano walking more than ever, showing better plate discipline, putting together better at bats. I think I'm fairly positive that he's going to have a good season. I think if you're already seeing the plate discipline, there's no doubt that he's going to, you know, hit home runs, that he's going to put the high exit velocity numbers and kick up his slugging percentage. So if you're having him taking good at bats, the rest is just going to follow suit.
I agree. And hits a home run yesterday. Big insurance run it ended up being for the Twins, or else they would have been down in that game. Rocco pulls Pineda in the eighth, brings in Hansel Robles, who struggled. You ask a question, who do you trust in this Twins bullpen right now? Matt, who do you trust in the Twins bullpen today?
Yeah, the responses of that were pretty interesting. I think most of the results were names that aren't even in the Twins bullpen now. There's a lot of Eddie Gordados and Joe Nathans and things like that. There's just so many question marks in the bullpen. I think generally I still have confidence in this bullpen. I think we've seen some intriguing performances. I think up to the prior to yesterday, I was super pumped about Hansel Robles, and I think you still need to be. I think his control issues were what held him back in 2020. He had a career high 5.4 walks per nine innings in 2020, which led to his high ERA. But he's always struck guys out, and he's always, you know, pitched well if he can stay under control. So that's certainly something to watch for him. And then Caleb Thielbar leading all relievers in strikeouts across baseball. I think pretty exciting for a guy that we hoped wasn't a one-hit wonder and is certainly looking like he's here to stay. So I think there are still some guys that you trust in this bullpen. For me, the X factor remains Tyler Duffy. If he's not a lights out fireman guy that you can trust, then that's where things get interesting for this bullpen. Because when you moved on from Trevor May, when you moved on from Sergio Romo, Tyler Clippard, part of the reason you did that was because you knew that you had Tyler Duffy in there. Right. And to this point, he hasn't exactly been lights out. Can he get back there? Will be something to monitor.
Big Mike Pineda, outstanding again yesterday for the Twins. Seven innings, scoreless ball. Get six strikeouts was just awesome. Big Mike is just his approach is very simple to me. He's got a fastball, slider, changeup. Slider he has great command of the fastball, mixes in that changeup against lefties, and is extremely, extremely effective. Big Mike, how important is he to this rotation, Matt, moving forward?
He's huge. He's just the steadying force. And yes. And it was interesting because yesterday when the Twins were coming in with a five-game losing streak, although I think Berríos and help me with our other starting pitcher's name.
Kenta
Maeda, thank you. I think while they have the higher ceiling and they're the better pitchers, it just seemed like there was nobody you wanted more on the mound to stop the losing streak yesterday than Michael Pineda. You just knew he was going to give you a quality start and give you a chance to win, and he just does that every single time. It's been 630 days since Michael Pineda allowed more than three earned runs in a start, which is just baffling to me. It was since August of 2019. So he just he gets it done every single time. And as much as you think that it's going to stop, he just keeps going.
This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com.
Well, I used to call him Michael Pinata early in 2019 because he was just getting blasted. But that's probably, you know, 630 days is probably like to, what is that, to April 2019 or May 2019?
August,
Oh, in August he did. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he was so, he was bad out of the gate for the Twins in 2019. But I think still getting his command back after Tommy John. And since then, he's just been fantastic for them. And we're already talking about extensions I'm seeing on Twitter for Michael Pineda, which I think is funny. But he's, yeah, I think he's crucial. And I actually listed him as one of the three X factors for the Twins this year. And you're exactly right. It feels like every time he's out there, he gives them a chance to win. And that's, he does his job, and he does his job really, really well. And he's much less volatile in my mind than like a Berríos, but Berríos has that upside where he can give you six with 12 strikeouts and dominate an offense like he did in Milwaukee. This lineup thus far, it's reminded me certainly a lot of 2020, at least in the last five or so games. I know right out of the gate, a little bit better, you know, nice in that Detroit series in Detroit, put together a huge game, 15 runs. But, you know, outside of that, a lot of these guys are struggling, and it's kind of the stars and scrubs that we saw last year when Nelly was kind of carrying the offense and, you know, Sano at times, and then everyone else was kind of struggling. Do you get that sense from this team as well?
I do and I don't. I think these lineups that we're seeing aren't going to be the lineups that we see in October. I think we have yet to see a game with Nelly, Buxton, and Donaldson, which I know, Nash, is your number one wish in all of life. So we know that's coming. We know that Alex Kirilloff is going to join this lineup. So you trust those guys. If you think, you know, Kirilloff will at least hit against righties, you know that Luis Arraez is going to perform. I'm just not too worried about this lineup. I think we're seeing a lot of the rest and rehabilitation, and you just hope that you can trust in your depth to get you the wins to still get you to October, get you that division title so that you're healthy with those guys that we mentioned who are all very injury prone guys. You have Donaldson, you have Buxton, who are very injury prone. You have Luis Arraez, who we've seen has questionable knees. And then you have Nelson Cruz, who, while he isn't necessarily injury prone, he's 41 years old. So there's just a lot of question marks. And I think it's just quite a big balancing act for Rocco between, you know, getting them there healthy while also making sure that we actually get to the postseason.
Fun six-game stretch coming up. Haven't seen these teams in 2 years, the Angels and the Athletics. Right. A lot of fun. Three in Anaheim, three in Oakland. I think this is tricky on the road, but I think it's going to benefit the Twins to get out of Minnesota, out of the cold, try to get those bats going. Two lefties right off the bat, Matt, today, Andrew Heaney, tomorrow, Jose Quintana, and then Alex Cobb Sunday. So if I were to guess, I would say Donaldson will play today and tomorrow and then probably get Sunday off against the righty. Just his usage, thinking about that. Don't know if Buxton's going to be in there. Sounds like they're going to get him some work today. But I like that you mentioned that because you look beyond these two teams. You got the Pirates, you got Cleveland, Kansas City, Texas, Detroit, kind of light through May. So I can understand that philosophy. But they still got to get those wins. You know, they still got to take care of teams like the Mariners. What's been your impression of the American League Central thus far?
I think we can see the depth in the American League Central already that we haven't seen in each of the last 2 years. I think the Twins and the White Sox are going to be there down the stretch. And then after those two teams, I think the Indians have looked stronger than I certainly anticipated. I think their offense has been probably as poor as we imagined, but their pitching just is going to keep winning ball games. They just have the arms. They have the infrastructure. They have Emmanuel Clase, who's been ridiculous out of the bullpen. They have James Karinchak. They just have awesome arms with that team where it's just never going to be an easy game against the Tribe. And then the Royals, who look solid. I think they're offseason additions look pretty decent. Benintendi looks pretty solid for them, Carlos Santana. And for them, it's just going to depend on those young arms. And same with Detroit. We saw Casey Mize throw up a gem the other day. They're just, these teams have the talent now where they can win on any day. And it's never just a given that you're going to take two out of three in any series against any of these teams.
I just saw a tweet, Jared Carrabas, Boston Red Sox, you know, unbiased national reporter, tweeted that the siren yesterday impacted the Red Sox 9-game winning streak and was the reason they lost. So I think the Twins can credit the siren for breaking out of this one. But They blew another lead yesterday. This time, Taylor Rogers to Alex Verdugo, who had an incredible at-bat. I talked about this last night with Gabrielle of Lockdown Red Sox. Awesome at-bat for him. We talked about the bullpen a little bit, Matt, but moving forward, like, what if zero is like you're not concerned at all, you think they're going to be a really, really good unit, and 10 being like highly concerned, where would you put yourself on that scale with the bullpen moving forward?
Well, I think anytime in baseball, if you're feeling anything lower than a 5, that's probably not accurate. I think you should always be at least a 5 worried about a bullpen in general, just because bullpens are volatile. But I tend to not be as concerned about the bullpen. I think, let's take Alexander Colomé, for example. I think while he has certainly not looked good, I just am going to trust an entire career of solid performance rather than 6 innings of poor performance from Colomé. I think same with, you know, Taylor Rogers. I think he looked really good prior to the performance from yesterday where he came into a bases-loaded situation against a really good, you know, hitter in Verdugo. So I think they still do have the horses. I think there's still guys down. We just sent down Cody Stashek, who, while he's had a couple iffy performances, I think in general he's looked pretty solid. He's been throwing some gas, and his slider's been, you know, working pretty well for him. So if we had to say 0 to 10, 10 being the most freaked out, I'll give it a 6, but just because a 5 is what I'm always going to be worried about a bullpen. But let's give this, you know, another month. And also, bullpens are the easiest thing to make additions at the trade deadline. So I think there's plenty of time that they can figure this out, and I'm not too concerned.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports needs. You know, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON. Yeah, and football is over, but listen, March Madness is one of the best times of the year to play and to bet. And BetOnline.ag has a really easy-to-use platform. It's easy to navigate, and you can bet on futures for Major League Baseball, too. If you think the Twins are going to win the Central, if you think the Twins are going to win the World Series, you can bet on both those things. If you think Josh Donaldson's going to win MVP, you can bet on that, too. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag.
Craig Kimbrell, just tossing that name out there, watching the Cubbies today. But Mets at Rockies is postponed. There's snow all over the field. I mentioned I think it's good for the Twins to get out of the cold of Minnesota and try to warm up those bats. But speaking of that lineup, stars and scrubs kind of thus far, as I mentioned, Jorge Polanco, really not great at the plate. Had a pretty good day yesterday. You know, I think he's having better at-bats, but what's the concern level on Polo?
The concern level on Polo is that Rocco keeps batting him second and third in the lineup, which just drives me crazy. I know a lot of that has to do with injury. So, again, I think when this team is fully formed and you have Polanco hitting seventh or eighth in the order and playing good defense at second base, I think it's fine. I think I'm fairly confident that we're not going to get the 2019 Jorge Polanco back, but it'll be interesting how once we get this team fully back, and I've seen a little bit of dialogue on this, but just at what point then it's hard to bench. You can't really bench Luis Arraez and have Jorge Polanco play second base. So I'm interested to see, and I'm sure, again, we'll have another injury where Arraez will have to fill in and it'll work itself out in the end. But just thinking, you know, once you do get, you have all of your guys playing in the same game, you have Buxton playing, you have Donaldson playing, potentially you have Kirilloff up. You know, how does that mix work with Polanco and Arraez will be something that I'll be watching.
Well, I have to hold myself accountable because I really like Jorge Polanco because I think of 2019 and I voted for him as Twins MVP in 2019. I don't know, Cruz was great, but Polo led the team in games and was just reliable every day at shortstop at a premium position and was such a big part of their hot start in 2019. And I think that ultimately led to them winning the division because they got off to such a good start. So, you know, I have to hold myself to the same standard of what I said before the season. I said he's got to have a short leash because if, like you said, JD's back playing third, you know, Kirilloff's up, it kind of muddies the outfield situation a little bit. I think you're exactly right. You can't bench Luis Arraez for Jorge Polanco. And if that happens consistently, I think that's a huge problem. I don't think they can allow that to happen. Luis Arraez is just too much of a spark plug for this team. Yeah. I think he was 4 for 5 yesterday, I want to say. Yeah. It was just awesome in that game. Luis Arraez is just a special hitter.
Yeah, and I think in the field he's looked pretty solid too. I think he made a couple solid plays at left, and I've been really, really pleasantly surprised with how he's looked at third base too. So I think he's had a really good season.
Yeah, he looks good at third too. I agree. Like, he's made some nice plays over there. And Dalton Simmons now out, which I think, you know, offensively he's been really good, but I think at a certain point we expected him to take a couple steps back offensively. And so I don't think that's a huge loss on that side of the ball. But defensively it hurts, you know, moving Polanco back to short or having to play JT Riddle, having Andrelton out for 10 days. But the good news is that the Twins, it sounds like no other positive tests as of right now. Mm-hmm. But they had quite the week, it sounds like, reading Dan Hayes' article at The Athletic. How are you feeling about these next six games, Matt? You know, looking at the Angels without Anthony Rendon for these next three, couple of lefties, and then Cobb on Sunday, and then the Oakland Athletics, who are playing much better baseball as of late.
Yeah, I think the Twins dodged some bullets with the Angels, just that, like you said, Rendon's not going to be playing. They don't have to face Ohtani on the mound. So I think they're looking pretty decent in these matchups. I think they get to face two lefties, which I think now that Donaldson's back healthy, I think you have to still like this lineup against lefties. I think after enough time, they are going to start hitting them. So I think I'm pretty interested in the series. I think LA is a ton of fun to watch. They're the team that I keep flipping on after the Twins games, just because they're such a fun team to watch. So certainly interested to see that. And then Oakland's been getting on a little bit of a roll. They started out really slow to start the season, but they've won their past handful of games. So we'll be interested to watch that as well. And we'll just see. I think they play six games, so I think you have to hope that they go 4-2. I think you'd be pleased with that. 3-3 is fine, and anything less than that, then I think you do start to get a not worried, but, you know, then things start to get a little more.
Twins Twitter won't like that. But it's been crazy on Twins Twitter. just watching the reactions. I think we're trying to get our minds back into it being 162 and not 60, right? But we all fall victim to that. And, you know, I'm certainly too invested in these games right now, but it's been a fun start. You know, Twins losing record, but can just kind of break that tonight and have a good weekend here in Los Angeles or in Anaheim, and then go to Oakland and win a couple games as well. Matt, thanks so much. I'll let you get back to work, sir. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for coming on, and enjoy this this series. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon, maybe on Locker Room. Thanks for joining us here, and thanks for listening to the Locked On Twins podcast. Oh, yeah, Matt, where can people find your work and follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, so I just posted two new articles yesterday. I did a recap of the interesting game yesterday, so that was a fun recap. And then I just posted an article, too, about the catching situation with the Twins and just why I'm not convinced that they're putting Ryan Jeffers in the best position to succeed, and why I think I might like to see him get some starts against lefties. So certainly go check that out and follow me on Twitter at MatthewTaylorMN.
Matt, thanks.
Take care, buddy. Ruddy.
Ruddy.